Blog Talk Radio.
Have called the book of Isaiah the fifth gospel. And I can understand why someone called the book of Isaiah the fifth gospel. We have, as it were, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The term synoptic means a theme together. And we believe that Mark is the oldest gospel, and that both Matthew and Luke used some of the material from Mark's gospel for their writing. The Gospel of John, however, is unique in many ways. But then those writings, of course, were done before the end of the first century AD. Then we have Isaiah. We have the book of Isaiah. The Bible itself, at least our English Bible, has 66 books. So the book of Isaiah has 66 books. It is this marvelous history, prophetic book, and the context is the Assyrian threat of the Northern Kingdom. That had already become a part of the ruthless Assyrian Empire. And in chapter 1, Yahweh has summoned Judah to court in verse 18, Isaiah 1:18. In Isaiah 1, beginning at verse 2, there is this cosmic indictment against the people of God. I want you to know that this is also a cosmic summons. God's people are in sin. They have been wounded and abused by sin. Now, mind you, this abuse, this is self-abuse. They had brought it upon, this abuse upon themselves. And their worship had become mere empty formalism. And so, we have the cosmic summons, verse Isaiah 1, to hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The word here for rebelled is pasha. This word is also used in when God commissioned Jonah for his job to go to Nineveh, his ministry to go to Nineveh. We read there that Jonah reared up, that is, reared back as a horse on his heels, pasha. And pasha is rebellion against legitimate authority. Verse 3, the ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And so begins the downward momentum of self-mockery through sinful practice. Sinful practice always brings in, or always has this aspect of self-mockery, in that the individual has not answered his name or her name because of rebellion. This sin engendered self-mockery begins to split up the personality. It begins to, and then ruin begins to settle in. And the person finds himself ineffective in life, with an inability to move on in life, with an inability to be creative, an inability to pray, an inability to forgive and to release and to appreciate a person of God. Because now sin has taken over the personality. Listen, verse 4, Isaiah 1. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt. Avam is the Hebrew word. A brood of evildoers, that is, those who missed the mark. Children given to corruption, that is, that which is bad. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned, that is, to reject with contempt the Holy One of Israel and turn their backs on him. This is the result of sin. Why should you be beaten anymore as a result of their behavior? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart afflicted, that is, languid or sick. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness or there is no health. I want you to see the universal aspect of the wages of sin. I want you to see what sin does, not only to the personality, but also to the body. I want you to understand the unitary nature of persons as presented in Scripture. There is no sound, that is, there is no health. Then he goes on, there is only wounds and welts and open sores. I want you to get a sense of the negative behavioral medicine that is going on here. There's only wounds and welts. Speaking of men and women, and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. And so not only were their personalities in ruin, not only were their bodies mangled and in ruin, but their country was being taken over. And notice that they brought this upon themselves. We are reading about deeds that direct destiny, or deeds that inform one's destiny. This is a consistent theme throughout the Old Testament. This is a consistent theme throughout the Word of God. And so we cannot not hear God. Cannot say, well, I'm going to turn away from what God has said and I'm going to do my own thing. We cannot be dismissive of the revelatory word, dire consequences, to turn one's back. You read here, deeds that determine destiny, actions that determine what will happen now and in the future. And so this chapter is so intense. It is a chapter of 31 verses. This chapter is so intense. God lays out what has happened to them. And then God, in verse 14, says, your new moon festivals, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. they have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong, learning to do right. Seek justice and curse your oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Then we go from this very powerful chapter to Isaiah 50, where we read in verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. This is a prophetic verse about Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, what he would suffer on behalf of his people. Listen, I offered my back to those who beat me with a cat of nine tails, strips of leather embedded with bone and metal that would lacerate and that would tear the first layer of skin and go down into the muscle fibers and destroy the tissue. And notice, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is dear. Paul wrote that no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, at the 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks about those who build their lives upon the rock, not a rock, the rock. And he talks about the stability against adversity, the adversities of life. But when that life is founded upon the rock of the Word, that life will be successful. That individual will persevere. That individual has built his or her life upon Jesus the Rock, the wounded healer. He goes on in chapter 53 of Isaiah. You read, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with sufferings or known by grief. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmity and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced. The pericardium of his heart was pierced with a Roman spear. His hands were pierced. His feet were pierced. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. So Jesus gave himself for us. He is indeed our wounded healer. Go to him for your salvation. Go to Jesus. Let him know that you need him. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.